Good evening and welcome to DizDad's podcast number 107. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster, and with me tonight are Eric Anderson.
Hey, everyone.
Terry Hawkins.
Good day, eh?
And Norm Hayden.
Hey, everybody.
And tonight, we're going to be continuing our Munch Madness table service dining tournament. This time, we'll be taking the Dinner and a Show and the Theme Park groups down to their Sweet 16 candidates. But before we get there, I do once again want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. When next you're planning a Disney vacation to Disneyland, Walt Disney World, heck, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland Paris, consider booking your trip with an agent from Fairy Tale Journeys. You can check them out online at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, gentlemen, I think, you know, we're several weeks into this tournament. Everybody knows pretty much how this works, so we're just going to kind of, you know, jump in with both feet and start with Dinner and a Show. And we have a matchup between the number one seed in this group, Tusker House, and number eight seed, Cape May Cafe. And I think I'm going to toss this one over to Norm first. Norm, why don't you tell us about one of these restaurants?
I'll just go ahead and start with Cape May on this one. It is located at the Beach Club and features a character breakfast with, hopefully y'all will correct me if I'm wrong on this one, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy. And I believe they're all wearing their beach shirts, if I have that correct.
Yeah, this is the beach attire.
The beach attire, yes. There is no character dining for dinner. However, at dinner, they have the all-you-can-eat buffet, which has crab legs and clams and mussels and clam chowder and all the fixings.
Right.
For the dinner and the show category, the Cape May breakfast is probably one of my favorite breakfasts on Disney property. It's very relaxed. The few times that we've been there, we've had lots of character interactions. They come around quite often. The restaurant environment seems very laid back, relaxed. Maybe it's just not as popular of a destination, perhaps, as maybe Chef Mickey's is for breakfast, so you don't quite have that, or Ohana's is for breakfast, so you don't quite have that big, massive crowd or rushed experience. Food was very good. Food was very fresh. Very enjoyable experience.
All right. And, Eric, I know that Tusker House is a favorite of yours.
Absolutely. And again, it's one of these buffet restaurants that has character meals for two meals of the day. So for breakfast and lunch, they have characters, and it's Donald greets you before you get into the restaurant, and then Mickey, Daisy, and Goofy are inside, as well as Donald. They put out a good spread of both sort of middle-of-the-road stuff, even down to the fact that they have a cold cuts bar. So if you just want to come in and get a sandwich, you can do that. But they also have some exotically spiced things at all the meals, really. You'll see that more during lunch and dinner. But breakfast is still solid. It's got pretty much the same stuff that you'll see at most Disney buffets. And as I was saying, the lunch and dinner get a little more off the beaten path. And they do have the Pog juice at breakfast as well.
Yeah, I've heard some people describe it as sort of Boma light.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. They the real win that Boma has over Tusker House, I think, is the soups that Boma puts out. But in other ways, you'll see a lot of the same spices and some of the same flavors over on the more of the hot bar side of Tusker House.
Yeah, and one thing I want to make sure we mention, you know, Norm talked mostly about the character breakfast at Cape May. I'm a big fan of the dinner. I know that my experience there maybe was a little better than Norm's last one was, but I was really impressed with it as a seafood buffet because, you know, to me, seafood buffets are sort of notorious for delivering much less than they promise. You know, it always sounds great, and then the realities of seafood on a buffet rear their ugly head, and you get soggy crab legs, and you get, you know, muscles that are rubbery because they've been under a heat lamp too long. And I really found that at Cape May, they handled it well. It helps that it's a busy restaurant, so food gets turned over quickly. It doesn't get a chance to get soggy or rubbery, so it's kept fresh. And even folks who are not necessarily big seafood fans, there's a whole section of the buffet that has, you know, sort of non-seafood items. So they're carving beef and, you know, corn and all kinds of sort of New England favorites that are not seafood based for people who are not seafood fans. All right, Terry. So you've heard some arguments. Anything you want to add and then take your vote?
Well, for me, I'm not a seafood fan, and Animal Kingdom is my favorite park of all. And we do have an ADR for Tusker House when we go in November, so it's Tusker House for me.
Okay. It's one vote for Tusker House. I'll bounce on down to Norm.
Well, and Aaron, you mentioned, you know, I did not have a great dinner experience. There was a very wide variety. Just wasn't very prepared very well that night. And it's same for most restaurants. Some nights they have a good night. Some nights they have a bad night. I absolutely love the Cape May for breakfast. However, I'm going to vote for Tusker House because, as Terry just said, one of the greatest things about Tusker House is if you can get the 8 o'clock reservation when the park opens at 9, then as you get done eating, you are the very first in line to get on the Kilimanjaro Safari ride, which is my absolute favorite at Animal Kingdom. So I'm going with Tusker House.
Definitely a nice bonus of Tusker House. And Eric, how about you?
Yeah, that's an excellent pro tip about getting that early reservation at Tusker House. So you're right there at the safari line. And at lunch, you've got the all-you-can-eat baklava. So I'm going to go with Tusker House over Cape May Cafe.
All right. Well, it doesn't mean anything, but I'm going to go ahead and vote for Cape May anyway. just so, you know, I have to support the great experience that I had there. But Tusker House is going to advance 3-1.
And I didn't know they had an all-you-could-eat baklava, so that's just – can I add a second vote for that? Because I'll have to make a lunch reservation now just for that.
Or do the brunch. Get in there about 10:30, right, and they'll be switching over.
So I'm thinking I can pick up the whole pan and just carry it back to the table. We'll see how that goes.
All right, so Tusker House advances. That's consistent with the voting online, too. So we move on to our next matchup in the Dinner and a Show competition. And this is an interesting one because it's a matchup between a character meal and a true show. Number 5, Crystal Palace in the Magic Kingdom, is facing off here against number 4, the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. Norm, why don't you tell us a little bit about either Crystal Palace or Hoop-Dee-Doo?
Well, I'll just go with the lower seeds because I think that's a little fun approach for me right now. So I'm going to pick the Crystal Palace in Magic Kingdom, located to the left of Main Street as you come up walking towards the castle. The breakfast buffet is a buffet at all meals. They have the character meals. They have Winnie the Pooh, and they have Tigger and Piglet and Eeyore. So they are the 4 Pooh characters. The food is very fresh. It's probably one of the very difficult reservations to get. Again, similar to Tusker House, you can get that before 8 a.m., before Magic Kingdom opens. You get that long walk up the empty Main Street, which is quite an experience if you've never done that before. And then around the corner to the restaurant, and then once you eat, you're one of the first in lines to attack the park before you get trampled by the masses that run up Main Street. I found the food to be very fresh. Character interaction was good. Unfortunately, the last time we went, my children were still a little afraid of the masked characters, or my youngest one was. My oldest one loved them. So she didn't have quite the best of times, but she still ate some of the food off the plate. She was young, but we enjoyed it, and we return. We've had breakfast and dinner there. I think we've had breakfast and lunch there, perhaps, but very good, very fresh food, very scenic, very good place to eat.
Okay. And Eric, tell us a little bit about the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review.
Sure. It's themed as sort of a vaudeville-ish show set in the
the Old West. It's like a group of traveling performers come in and basically enter the hall where you're dining and put on a show, an actual show, while you're eating. The food there is fried chicken, barbecue ribs, cornbread, pretty mashed potatoes, pretty hearty stuff. And it's one of the two dining credit shows that Disney puts on, along with Spirit of Aloha and Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. It's over at Fort Wilderness Campgrounds in Pioneer Hall.
Okay. I think one of the things that we have to mention about Hoop-Dee-Doo Review is, and we've mentioned it, I'm sure, when we talked about it in its first round matchup, but Hoop-Dee-Doo does share with Spirit of Aloha that little bonus of being one of the few dining experiences that includes all-you-can-drink beer or wine as part of your meal. Usually it's only soft drinks that are covered. And so that's a nice little bonus. Now that, it is...
Quality suffer somewhat.
Yeah, it's your standard run-of-the-mill. I think it's probably Bud and Bud Light. But nonetheless, and they do... Look, it's a family dining experience. They're not looking to get anybody tanked. But by the same token, vaudeville's always funnier when you've had a few. So it is a nice bonus of Hoop-Dee-Doo. Terry, what are you thinking about this one?
Well, it's a tough one for me. I haven't been to either, but I'd love to experience both of them. I think you might have sold me with the wine included for the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. Also, I love the whole history of how the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review developed. So I'm going to go with that. It's a tough call, though. Main Street, an empty Main Street would be great, too.
Okay. So that's one vote for Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. How about you, Eric?
This is really tough, as befits the seeds. I think Crystal Palace does a great job. The Pooh characters that's the only place you're going to see them, really. So that definitely bumps it up. I think the food is really good at Crystal Palace. That also bumps it up. But Hoop-Dee-Doo is just such a fun event. It sort of transcends the meal itself. So I think if I had to choose between the two for a family vacation, I would choose Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. But that's not taking anything away from Crystal Palace, because I think if I was just looking for somewhere to eat, I'd probably choose Crystal Palace. But for the grand experience, it would be Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Well, see, I'm glad you put it that way, because for me, I agree, it's a really close call here. And what tips scales for me towards Crystal Palace is that there's a convenience factor that Hoop-Dee-Doo has that great history at Fort Wilderness, and it really needs that surrounding because that's where it fits. But, making plans to have dinner at Hoop-Dee-Doo Review means that you really are devoting your entire evening to doing that, because you've got to deal with getting yourself over to Fort Wilderness. The transportation there can be a little tricky to navigate. It is a longer experience because it is dinner and a longer show. I think I still would like to experience it one of the at some point. The nice things about Crystal Palace, that ability to have the pre rope drop breakfast, the great interaction with the characters, the ability to have it convenient, right in the heart of what you're there to experience at Walt Disney World, to me pushes it over the top. So I'm going to go ahead and cast a vote for Crystal Palace. And we're going to put the onus here in Norm's hands to see whether he's going to send it to our online voters, because Hoop-Dee-Doo leads 2-1, and it's all up to you, Norm.
Well, the pressure's on. I can't feel the excitement mounting. The only thing I would mention extra on this one, and I will vote for Crystal Palace, so we will make it into a tie. And the couple different reasons, nothing against Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. I thought it was a great show. They only had Bud Light when I was there. I can drink water anywhere. But when you think of their fried chicken, I mean, come on, I am from Kentucky, right? KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, so for the food really has to hit it for me. And it was okay, but it wasn't great. I would like the show experience. So then when I compare the show experience to everything you just said, Aaron, about the Crystal Palace, being in the Magic Kingdom, right there, the empty Main Street, and the Pooh characters, I'm going to go with Crystal Palace.
All right, so that gives us a 2-2 tie, and we go to our online vote. And by the narrowest of margins, Crystal Palace squeaks by the upset of Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, because as we stand at this moment, out of 37 voters, Crystal Palace has 19 votes, and Hoop-Dee-Doo Review has 18. So by a single online vote, Crystal Palace advances. Next up is one of the more lopsided online votes. Tell me about 1900 Park Fair.
1900 Park Fair, it's one of those places that switches morning to evening. I haven't done the morning, which is with Alice in the Wonderland characters, but I've done the evening. We actually did a Christmas dinner at 1900 Park Fair with Cinderella, Prince Charming, the stepsisters, and Madame... the stepmother.
Lady Tremaine.
Lady Tremaine, thank you. Yeah, and it's great. As mentioned in the previous podcast, the stepsisters steal the show. They are probably some of the best portrayed characters in all of Walt Disney World. They are phenomenal. The food is okay. The strawberry soup that somebody had mentioned again previously is very good. We had a turkey dinner. I don't know if that was more special because it was Christmas dinner or if that's part of their regular menu, but it was good. But it was really the stepsisters who made the whole event.
Okay. So that's number 11, 1900 Park Fair, facing off with Dizdad favorite Ohana, the 3 seed. And Eric, why don't you tell us a little bit about Ohana? I mean, you know, anything that we need to be reminded of there?
I'm pretty sure this group is pretty clued in. Just if you haven't been there, if you haven't ever heard of it, where have you been? And it's basically the Carnivore's Delight restaurant where you get grilled meat brought around very regularly by cast members. It's a Polynesian theme. It's in the Polynesian resort up on the second floor. It is a tough ADR to get often. Again, I have seen fistfights break out, people trying to get into Ohana when it's full. So it's very popular. You get a lot of grilled meat if you so desire. The rest of the food is good, but the real draw is meat.
And shrimp.
That's a kind of meat, right?
I guess.
It's protein.
I guess. You know, look, on the Ohana menu, shrimp is almost a vegetable.
This is true. Yeah.
Well, and we do need to make sure we mention, you know, the reason that Ohana is in this particular part of the bracket is because they also have a character breakfast, the Best Friends Breakfast with Lilo and Stitch, and also Mickey and Pluto and Goofy. It's a surf family style, which is nice for character breakfasts. I think maybe a little unusual. Most of them tend to be buffet style. I really like the family style option. I think it's a lot more relaxed that way, you know, because you're not trying to juggle getting to the buffet line and helping kids at the buffet line and, you know, keep looking over your shoulder to see if the characters have arrived yet. It's a lot more relaxed that way. And we did the character breakfast there just this past trip in January and really enjoyed it a lot. All right, Norm, we talked about Ohana. We've talked about 1900 Park Fair. Go ahead and add anything you feel needs adding and cast a vote.
The only detractor to Ohana experience is the check-in process. And, I mean, I think, Eric, you may have mentioned on the last podcast about a fist fight that may have occurred out there, broke in a check-in in it. I don't know what the issue is. Maybe we need to do My Magic Bands for, check-in at Ohana, maybe. I don't know. But for whatever reason, the check-in process is just very crowded, very tough. Now, it is a little bit tight at Park Fair. However, they do have a dedicated hallway, which makes it a little bit easier getting back. I'm going to surprise you all, and I'm going to actually vote for Park Fair. And the reason being is because my oldest is a big Alice in Wonderland fan. They have the Mad Hatter and Alice at breakfast, and even better is when they come to your table and tag team. And they absolutely 100% stay in character. The last trip, my children were wearing their cross country T-shirts, and of course, you know, the Mad Hatter and Alice point out, "What's that on your shirt?" And of course, they say they ran cross country, and the Mad Hatter says, "You ran cross country? That seems like a very far way. Did you run to Disney World?" And of course, they would try to correct him, and every time he would have a comeback. Just a great experience for that one. The food to me, I agree that I like the food better at Ohana. It's got the Lilikoi juice or Pog juice, whatever its name goes by there. But for my children's sake and for the entertainment and the show factor, and like Terry said, with the stepsisters, I'm going to take the Park Fair.
All right. So that's a vote for 1900 Park Fair. Terry, what's your vote?
Well, I love those stepsisters, but I'm a married spud, so I'm going to have to go with meat.
Okay. So that's one vote for 1900 Park Fair and one vote for Ohana. Eric?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think the show is a lot better at 1900 Park Fair, but I think the food is a lot better at Ohana. And I too, am going to be governed by my gut, I think, and go with Ohana.
All right, and I'm going to also cast my vote for Ohana. So by a 3-1 vote, Ohana advances over 1900 Park Fair, and the crowd goes wild. And we move on to sort of an interesting matchup, number 7 versus number 2. Number 7, Whispering Canyon Cafe, versus number 2, Akershus, a couple of very different show atmospheres. Terry, why don't you talk a little bit about the show aspects and the food, too, of Whispering Canyon Cafe.
Well, it's fantastic at Whispering Canyon. The cast member makes the evening or breaks the evening. When we were there for the Distad convention, the meal was absolutely great. The cast member was even better. They really played up the all the different antics that we know go on there. And if you don't know, go and enjoy. Just don't expect it to be quiet. The food is very good. It's served family style. My wife has a gluten allergy, and they were fantastic. They brought her own platter of meat, which she absolutely loved, and she was armed, so she refused to share it with any of us. And they also have the best gluten-free beer that my wife has found as of yet.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Eric, why don't you talk a little bit about Akershus?
Sure. It's in the Norway Pavilion in Epcot. It has, I guess, the other princess meal. That's not the one at Cinderella's Royal Table. The food is good. They have both a cold buffet and more family-style service at breakfast and actual ordering of entrees at lunch and dinner. The food has some Scandinavian flavors in it. My big draw to this for breakfast is the all-you-care-to-eat salmon, which tends to be a lot for me. So that's good. There's also herring if you want that. I don't know why you would, but it's there. The princess interaction there is great. I think it's a lot better than Cinderella's Royal Table. You get Belle up front, and then you get a variety of other princesses inside. We've seen, I think, most of the princesses, including some tough gets like Mulan and Pocahontas over there. I think the food is really good, and the partial family-style service or table service, food actually brought to your table helps if you're juggling a lot of kids or any kids at all, really.
It keeps you from making repeated trips to the buffet all during the meal. So that's about it.
All right. So, Norm, anything you want to add to either of these? And then go ahead and cast your vote.
Well, the Whispering Canyon Cafe, of course, is in the Wilderness Lodge. Absolutely beautifully themed restaurant. One of my talk about favorite theming, I think that would have to be probably one of the top three. I really enjoy the lodge itself. However, was not overly impressed with the meal. Yes, the waitress antics, server antics were okay. However, I've never known how to say the name of the restaurant. So what Aaron said, the restaurant at Norway, the Princess Breakfast, I have two girls. They love the princesses. I've probably eaten breakfast there. Goodness, maybe even close to 10 times. I've never been for dinner or for lunch, but it's my understanding they have the characters, I think, for one of those, the princesses, for one of those meals, or maybe both of those.
They're now having the princesses for all three meals.
Okay, for all three meals. All right. So I've never tried the lunch or dinner meals there. However, I enjoy the breakfast food. I enjoy, like Eric mentioned, I enjoy the cold bar, the cold buffet bar that you have, the different selections. And they have, what is it, Eric? Lingonberry?
Oh, Lingonberry.
What is it?
Lingonberry.
Okay. All right.
Aaron and I will just keep saying it at the same time, so you're
getting your information. We can only say it in stereo, apparently.
So my Kentucky accent doesn't quite do it justice. So, but again, I really enjoyed the food, and I love the princess interaction. So I'm going to vote for the restaurant at Norway so I don't slaughter its name and its pronunciation.
All right. So we have one vote for Akershus. Eric, how about you?
I'm going to vote the same way as Norm, surprising as that is.
So we have two votes for Akershus. Terry, how about you?
You know what? Norm's 10 breakfasts at Akershus has kind of sold me that's where I want to make my next ADR. Bell's appearance has nothing to do with it, I'm sure. But I'll make that a 3 for Akershus.
Well, and Aaron, if I can jump back in one really quick with that,
sure.
I want to keep the show PG-13 as best I can. However, one of the many breakfasts that we had there, 8 o'clock in the morning, we'd crawled over from the boardwalk. I haven't had any coffee yet. I can't really focus my eyes very well. I'm sitting at the table, and I believe it was Princess Jasmine came over to the table to autograph my child's autograph book, which was laying flat on the table. So let's do a visual picture. I'm sitting upright in my chair.
Uh-huh.
My child is next to me on the outside of the table. Jasmine is leaning, bending over the table, straight back to sign the autograph book.
Uh-huh.
And I turn to look to see who's signing her autograph book, and I have a wonderful view. We'll keep it. We'll do PG-13 on that one. So edit that if you choose to.
Okay. There are, let's say, many show elements involved. All right. Well, I'm going to go stand in the corner and go ahead and vote for Whispering Canyon anyway, even though I lose 3-1 again. But I guess character meals are difficult for me because my son is really not into characters at all. Like, he's 6 years old. He's fearless now on rides, but something about costumed characters just really freaks him out. I don't know why. So even for a princess meal, they're face characters, but it's all princesses. He's not so much into them. The one picture I have of him from the dinner we did at Akershus for my daughter's 8th birthday is of him sitting on my wife's lap, sticking his tongue out. And that was the one picture I could get him to let me take during the entire meal. So I guess for us, Whispering Canyon is just a better fit for my family. My daughter pointed out today that that's one of her favorites. Apparently, I need to swap out some ADRs for our trip that's coming up. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and vote for Whispering Canyon. Akershus is going to advance anyway. And the number 2 seed survives handily against the number 7. All right, so we move on now to the theme park dining group, and we start with number 1, Via Napoli. facing off against number 8, Teppan Edo.
Just to make sure I have, because it's been a while, that is the one where they do
the Teppan Edo
hibachi grill and show in front of you?
Yep.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. So for those of, for anyone who's been to an hibachi grill, it is somewhat similar to that experience. You have the grill in front of you, you have the chef, and you sit down and they do a show. It is a little bit more Disney-themed, at least from what I saw. I think they did, the chef did a Mickey Mouse out of the rice, you know, with the face and the ears, the three rounds. Very entertaining show. Food was excellent. I don't remember being too crowded inside the restaurant, which is a good thing, because sometimes they can kind of cram you in there sometimes. I don't remember being too crowded in there.
Yeah, sort of the blessing and curse of those grills is that, you know, given the heat that those things put off and the fact that, you know, they want to make sure that guests don't get too close and accidentally touch them because, you know, the grill's hot. Mm-hmm. There's only so many of those they can squeeze in. So I think that helps a little bit.
And I think I've probably been to some, as I've traveled around, that have probably tried to overcrowd either chairs that there, or they've overcrowded the, and you could feel like it just, it feels like you're sitting on top of your neighbor.
Right.
But I didn't get that sensation from that. But again, all the different tricks they do, the onion volcano and the flipping of the tinsel utensils to cook, and the, of course, the Japanese egg roll joke is a really popular one. I mean, they are shifted all sorts of shows. It's very entertaining, very good food, very fresh. And I personally love seeing my food made right in front of me, because then I know how it's prepared, and I think it's pretty neat to watch if you've never seen that type of show.
Sure. And Eric, I know Via Napoli is a favorite of yours.
Yeah, it's in Epcot. It's in the Italy Pavilion. It is primarily, you should say, it's a pizza restaurant. They've got these big wood-fired pizza ovens in the back that have big faces on them that my kids love to, you know, point at and laugh at because they're kind of silly looking. But they also have some other Italian dishes. The arancini, which is the fried risotto balls, which are really good. They've got a big appetizer platter, Fritto Misto. And so it's like, you know, all the appetizer things that they have just all thrown on a big plate for two people.
Okay.
They've got some pasta too, but basically think of it as a pizza joint from Italy. They just imported the stuff to make the pizzas and a bunch of Italian servers and dropped it in Epcot. And it turns out to be a pretty good meal. So,
Terry, anything you want to add to either of these? And then go ahead and cast a vote.
I am most interested in going to Teppan Edo, so I'll cast my vote there.
Okay. So there's one vote for Teppan Edo. Let's go on over to Norm.
Oh, I'm going to – I had a very pleasant meal there and a very I know we're not in the show category anymore. We're in the theme park dining. Both of these restaurants are over in Epcot in the World Showcase. I happen to have to vote for Via Napoli. Their pizzas were excellent. Like Eric mentioned, I mean, the authenticness, and either all of the wait staff were super good actors, or they were, you know, they were really, I think that Disney does do their exchange program very well, trying to bring over folks who live in those different countries. And they were just so gracious with us, and their accents as they talked, and it was so much fun. But the pizzas were just amazing. I'm a big pizza guy, so I'm going Via Napoli.
Okay. So we've got one vote for Teppan Edo, one vote for Via Napoli. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Via Napoli. I think, you know, before they showed up, pizza at Disney was something that you ran away from in fear and terror. Once Via Napoli came in, there was a saving grace. I just think overall, I think you can get better sort of the hibachi grill cooking other places outside of Disney, but I think Via Napoli holds up very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the show at Teppan Edo is a lot of fun. It's good food. I think they do it right. I love the fact that there are Disney touches to it, but it is something that you can find locally. And while you can find a good pizza place locally, I think that the irony is that I can find good pizza locally. I can't find good pizza at Disney outside of the Annapolis. It's sort of, you know, unique in that way. And they get a lot of credit for that because, you know, there's all kinds of discussion about, you know, why it is it so hard to find good pizza in Orlando. A lot of it centers on, well, you know, the water is different. And so at, you know, the Annapolis, they deal with it by importing the water. It's unique for Disney World, and it seems odd that pizza is unique for Disney World, but it just is. And so for that reason, I'm going to cast my vote for Viennapoli as well. And the number one seed has a 3-1 advantage and moves on, defeating number 8, Tapanetto. Now we've got a 5-4 matchup, and this is another one of those interesting matches. It's one of the maybe lesser-known Epcot restaurants against a restaurant in the Animal Kingdom, number 5, Yak and Yeti, against number 4, restaurant Marrakesh. And let's start with Eric telling us a little bit about Marrakesh.
Sure. It's in the Morocco Pavilion. It's way around the back of the Morocco Pavilion. You'll see a sign for it out in the very front of the Morocco Pavilion. But to actually get there, you've got to kind of walk around the back. Which is a nice trip anyway. I really like the Morocco Pavilion and the way they've got it themed back there. It has quasi-Moroccan cuisine. I think they've Americanified a lot of the stuff so that you're not getting a lot of the strong flavors that you might expect from the region. But again, if you ask nicely, they will probably heat things up for you as you need. They also have belly dancers at times. So I believe around the dinner hour, you may get a belly dancer in there. So that, you know, kind of fits in with the show, even though it's just, we're in the theme park category now. So it's a little something additional there.
Okay. And I guess I'll talk a little bit about Yak and Yeti. It's in Disney's Animal Kingdom. It can be a tough ADR to get, and I've talked about this a little bit previously. I think, you know, part of the problem is that the limited hours at Animal Kingdom sort of make it a crunch for Yak and Yeti at dinner. It's you know, great for lunch. Dinner's hard because when a lot of the times the park is closing at 5 o'clock, you know, there only is time to maybe get one full dinner seating in at Yak and Yeti. But the best thing I can say, it's probably among the better Asian food at Disney World. You know, they do some good things in the Japan Pavilion. It's no accident that the China Pavilion is no longer alive in this tournament. But a lot of noodle and rice-based dishes at Yak and Yeti. Some with a good, you know, nice creative twists here and there, and a really interesting restaurant because it's like all of Animal Kingdom, really richly themed for the Asia land in which it is located. And there's also a nice area upstairs. There's a balcony, and if you do like a late lunch, you can watch the parade that comes by at about 3:45. You can see that parade from that window upstairs at Yak and Yeti. Norm, why don't you start us off? Anything you want to add to either of these restaurants or cast a vote?
Now, you mentioned all the points on Yak and Yeti. I'm not a Indian Moroccan flavored meal person. That's just not appealing to my palate. So restaurant Marrakesh probably wouldn't have beaten probably anything in this spot. However, I specifically do like Yak and Yeti, and for those reasons that you mentioned, the upstairs room is great if you can get up there. A lot of people don't know, I think Yak and Yeti, they have a very little small bar back in the back. Sometimes people can sneak back there, and they also have their quick service right next to the restaurant. So if you get a chance to sample the food, but yes, that's definitely an ADR that's worth getting.
Okay. So that's one vote for Yak and Yeti. How about you, Terry?
Well, I really, really want to try restaurant Marrakesh. I love the theme of it. We actually went there last time, but the line was too long, so we left. but I have to stay with the Animal Kingdom. Yak and Yeti is great, and the theming's fantastic.
Okay. So it's two votes for Yak and Yeti. Eric, how about you?
Yeah, I will dissent and go with Restaurant Marrakesh. I just think that their lineup of food is wide. It's got some authenticity to it that I really enjoy. I think when I take the kids there, I'm not going to let them order off the kids menu because I think that's a bit of an embarrassment, the kids menu there. But they have enjoyed stuff at Tangerine Cafe right next door. So they like some of the flavors. And I think just, you know, maybe splitting one of the big couscous dishes between the two of them would work out nicely. And it's something that you don't see a lot of places. So I'll go with Restaurant Marrakesh.
All right. Well, you know, I mentioned this in the first round when we dealt with Restaurant Marrakesh. And my problem here is that I so much enjoy Tangerine Cafe that Restaurant Marrakesh has just been sort of a disappointment. I am heartened by the idea that I can ask for more robustly spiced food and that we've had some reports from people now that say that they're good about accommodating that. And so, you know, maybe I'll reevaluate after I try it again. But at this point, Restaurant Marrakesh to me is just sort of not really delivering on its promise. And for that reason, I'm going to cast my vote for Yak and Yeti. And by 3-1 vote, Yak and Yeti is going to hand the mild upset with the 5 seed upsetting the 4 seed, handing Restaurant Marrakesh the loss. So we move on now to the 3-5 matchup. And this is another Epcot cultural battle. And we have the French and the Spanish facing off once again. Number 3, Hacienda de San Angel versus number 6, Chefs de France. Norm, why don't you pick one of these to talk about?
Okay, I'll start. I'll go with Chefs de France. As you mentioned, located in Epcot in the French Pavilion. A little outdoor seating area when you check in. We went there last year. The food was, actually the food was surprisingly good. I perhaps expected maybe a little more bold French flavors. However, I was pleased. I was able to order escargot off the menu. Of course, it's not served in the shells. It's served, I guess, Americanized so that it's easy to stab and eat. I did drink several of their French import beers. I don't remember the name of it, but it was good enough that I remember drinking there. My children, I believe my oldest had the macaroni and cheese, and she loved it. Or perhaps it's called cassoulet. Make sure if I get my French dictionary out. My youngest had steak. I had the steak as well. We had a very pleasant meal. Perhaps I probably felt a little crowded inside. I think the tables were probably a little pushed close together. Kind of a little more loud in the restaurant. Perhaps to my preference. However, I thought the food was very good, and it was a very good meal, and we probably would return.
Okay. And, Eric, why don't you talk a little bit about Hacienda?
Sure. It's out there beside the water in the Mexico Pavilion. They do sort of, you know, upscale Mexican food, and they also serve margaritas that you would see over in Cava del Tequila. Inside the pyramid. So they have both the food and the drink covered, I think, really well there. There's a lot of food, especially if you get one of these platters for two. They've got a meat platter and a fish platter that are served for two people and sized for 6 or 7 people. the flavors of which were good enough that I was eating things that I wouldn't normally eat, like shrimp. So they do a really good job of spicing. You were complaining about maybe Restaurant Marrakesh not having the spice up to par. These were quite well spiced. So that's my take on Hacienda.
Okay.
And also you've got the possibility of a nice view of illuminations if you get there at the right time and get the right seat outside.
Well, yeah, and I would say, you know, even absent illuminations, it is a really nice location there, sort of overlooking the lagoon. Terry, you've heard the introductions to chefs and La Hacienda. What swayed you?
Well, I'd really like to go and see Remy at Chef's, but French food is just a little too belt-tightening for me nowadays. So I'm going to go with the view, with the fantastic food at Hacienda as well. If you show that you follow them on Facebook or Twitter, they will often give you a free appetizer or a free drink, and that's worth my vote for sure.
Okay. Nice little bonus from La Hacienda. All right, so one vote for Hacienda. How about you, Norm?
Well, and this is one that I have not been to, the Hacienda, the one outside. I've been to the one, we've been inside the pyramid.
Right, to San Angel Inn.
San Angel Inn. So I haven't been to this one outside. And Terry mentioned Remy. I forgot all about Remy at Chef de France. He's not there all the time. He's very hard to, you didn't have to catch him. He's didn't stay very long. But I forgot all about that. So thank you for mentioning that. But with that said, I'm going to vote for the Hacienda de San Angel because I would like to try that as my next choice. And I thought Chef de France was good, so not knocking it, but I like to try something new, and that's a new restaurant that I haven't been to, so
okay,
we'll put it on the list.
All right, so that's two votes for La Hacienda. How about you, Eric?
I'm going to make it three. I think the food is really good there. I don't think the food at Chef's is bad, but I do find it a little crowded, a little French at times, and Hacienda, I think, just puts out food that, for basically the same price, is a little more upmarket and just better overall.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make it a clean sweep and cast my vote for La Hacienda because, you know, tequila. I think that's all I need to say. So 4-0, La Hacienda advances against number 6, Chef de France. And we now have our final matchup of the evening. We have number 10, Tutto Italia, in the Italy Pavilion, facing off against number 2, Beer Garden, in the Germany Pavilion. Yet another Axis Powers matchup. I think we had that come up in the first round with Tutto Italia as well. And let's see, Eric, why don't you talk about Tutto Italia a little bit?
Sure. It is more of the sort of mainstream Italian restaurant. So whereas Via Napoli was your, you know, pizza place, you know, fancy pizza place and all, but the focus was on the pizza, really. Via Napoli has more of your pasta dishes,
I'm sorry, Tutto Italia has.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Yeah, Tutto Italia has more of those, you know, pasta dishes, and more the meat and fish meals. So it's more of a dinner type place in terms of getting, you know, like a full lineup of food.
Terry, you want to talk a little bit about Beer Garden?
Sure, I can there. Beer Garden is it's just like walking into a beer garden. They've got the long tables inside set on around a large dance floor. They've got a Oompa band playing, who are absolutely fantastic. These guys are great. The food is kind of a buffet style, so you go up, fill your plate, come back. The food is okay. It's some of the stuff is pretty good. Some of it's pretty bland. But the band really makes it. They've got beer, and the kids love going up there and dancing. It's a great place to take a break and have a cool off with a nice nice stein of beer while your kids dance and get entertained.
Okay. Norm, anything you want to add to either of these and maybe cast a vote?
I've been to both. You know, I know this may sound like a little really picky thing, but I need to have it back on my chair when I eat. Okay, I like picnic tables if I'm out grilling and drinking beer, but if I'm going to go sit in that doesn't do it for me. Beer Garden was okay. So, but with that said, I'm going to vote for Tutto Italia. I thought that, we went there maybe, wasn't last year, the trip before that. The service was impeccable. We actually had two waiters assigned to us. Now, I don't know if that's a normal thing or if they just didn't do their schedule right one day, but incredible service for a one table service meal. The food was exceptional, Italian food. I had an absolutely wonderful meal. I've read different reviews on it, some good, some bad, but I had an absolutely great meal. Children loved it. We had tiramisu for dessert. Everybody enjoyed that. But just the overall service and the attitude that we had was great. So I'm going to vote my vote for Tutto.
Okay, so that's one vote for Tutto Italia. You know, and one thing that we didn't mention is that Tutto Italia in the last year or so has also opened Tutto Gusto, the sort of wine bar that's been carved out of Tutto Italia. Tip, I think we mentioned this last week as well. Sometimes if you couldn't get an ADR at Tutto Italia, you can walk up at Tutto Gusto where they don't take ADRs. And although they have their own sort of small plates menu for Tutto Gusto, you can actually order off the full Tutto Italia menu if you want. So it's kind of a way to squeeze yourself in at Tutto Italia if there's no ADR available. However, despite that, I'm a beer guy. If I'm choosing between wine in Italy and beer in Germany, I'm feeling that all the pull of the beer. I've mentioned before on these shows, I love a beer flight. Beer Garden has an excellent beer flight. It's sized just right so that it's reasonably priced and it's enough that you get a good opportunity to taste the flavors of each of the beers, but not so much that after you've done a flavor of each of the beers, it's too much to then, you know, order a nice tall stein of whichever one you like the best. So, really like the beer, like the atmosphere at Beer Garden. It's really laid back. I like the interaction you get with other guests. I know for some people that's a drawback, but I kind of liked the opportunity to, you know, make some friends and interact with some new people at the Beer Garden tables. I liked the food quite a bit. Norm's not wrong. Terry's not wrong. There's certainly some elements on that buffet that were a little bland, but I didn't have any problem finding plenty of things that I really enjoyed. And I think everybody, you know, found something here or there. It's a pretty broad buffet. Having said that, I'm going to cast my vote for Beer Garden. So we're 1-1, and I'm going to hand this off to Terry for his vote.
Well, I'm going to have to vote for Beer Garden.
Okay. Two votes Beer Garden, one vote Tutto Italia. What do you say, Eric?
I'm also going to go with Beer Garden. I think it's a tough sell for the rest of my family, but I like it. It's got, you know, a wide variety of stuff on the buffet, but I like some of the German dishes more than I think other members of my family do. So, and you know, I spent some time in Germany and enjoyed the liters of beer there. So that's also a nice thing.
All right. So that covers us for tonight. Just to give a quick recap, we had, Tusker House over Cape May Cafe, Crystal Palace over Hoop Dee Doo Review, Ohana over 1900 Park Fair, Ockershus over Whispering Canyon Cafe, Via Napoli over Tapanetto, Yak and Yeti over Restaurant Marrakesh, continuing the run of number 5 seed upsets, number 3 Hacienda de San Angel over Chefs de France, and number 2 Beer Garden over number 10 Tutto Italia. You've just heard what we think of all of these restaurants. We'd love to hear what you think. I'm sure that you disagree with us on some points. So tell us about it. Email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. Or participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And don't forget to check your feed for the new midweek dad show, Your Hump Day Disney Fix, coming to you every Wednesday. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Eric Anderson.
See you later, everybody.
Terry Hawkins.
Wiedersehen.
And Norm Hayden.
Thanks, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.